It's going to be the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals on Thursday, June 3rd. For the first time ever, these two teams meeting in the NBA Finals. Very novel.
Yeah,
we're excited
about
that. Actually, it's just the first time this decade, but it's the 12th time overall that these two teams are meeting. The Celtics have historically owned the Lakers, but things have changed since the 1980s. It's a little bit more even since then. Of course, 2 years ago, the Celtics and Lakers met, and the Celtics, with what was at the time perceived as a bit of an upset, they won the NBA championship, and they have now upset two teams in a row, the Cavaliers and the Magic. So if they win again, let's stop calling it an upset.
Yeah.
Let's establish that. Adam Azer, Greg Urbano with you on the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. We are looking at this NBA Finals here on Tuesday, June 1st. We are 2 days away from the start, and we'll take a look at how the teams got here. The season series, 2 1-point games. We're going to tell you the most important player in the series for each team, the X factor for each team, 3 reasons why the Lakers might win, 3 reasons why the Boston Celtics might win. And I think we might end up predicting different teams here. I think one of us might have the so-called upset.
We use underdog. That word. Like you said, is it an upset? You know, we looked at some of the things that Boston did during the regular season. Recently it came out that Doc Rivers really, throughout the regular season, made sure to rest his starters so that they would be ready for the regular for the playoffs. So when you say that they were an underdog in a playoff series because they didn't have as good of a regular season record, well, Boston really didn't care about that this year. They cared about being healthy at the right time, and that's what they did. And you have to look at, you know, obviously they're in the finals against the Lakers, so it clearly worked in Doc Rivers' method of making sure to limit the minutes of the guys that are important, like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, certainly worked out, and that's why they won the Eastern Conference.
Well, the Lakers had the 3rd-best record in the NBA in the regular season. The Celtics had the 9th-best record in the NBA, which is a little surprising when you think about that. They were the 4 seed out in the East. Now, the Lakers were the number 1 seed in the West. They beat the Thunder in 6 games, the Jazz in 4 games, the Suns in 6 games. The Boston Celtics beat the Heat in 5, Cleveland and Orlando in 6 games. And as I said, they've beaten the teams with the top 2 records in the NBA. Now Boston gets number 3 on that list. So let's look at the season series, Greg. 1 game apiece. Each team won on the road. However, Kobe Bryant did not play in the Lakers' home game. Each team won by 1 point on the road. In the first game, Kobe Bryant hit that game-winning jumper with just over 7 seconds left. Boston losing to L.A., 90-89. Then the Celtics won 87-86 in Los Angeles in a game that Kobe didn't play. Derek Fisher ended up taking the game-winning shot and missing it. So how many, if we go 7 games, how many is going to come down to a Kobe Bryant jump shot?
We certainly would like to see all 7 if it goes that extent. But like you said, these are teams, they're veteran teams, they both have good benches, so you're not going to see lulls in the game where, you know, they're both playing poor, and if that happens, the other team will make a comeback. These are going to be close games. I think any one of us would be excited to see Kobe try to hit game winners in each and every one of them.
It's going to
happen.
Not
likely.
I would say twice.
Yeah, and I'd love to see an overtime game as well, so we'll see. But either way, this now I think we can agree, you know, and I said probably 3 different times throughout the year, man, I can't wait to see the Lakers and the Cavs. Those are the 2 best teams. And then I said, man, I can't wait to see the Lakers and Magic. Those are the 2 best teams. Right now, I can't wait to watch the Lakers and the Celtics. I'm just excited to see these teams go at it because I feel like right now they are the best 2 teams. Obviously, you know, whether you want to argue the whole best team argument, we'll leave that last week. But, you know, for the most part, this is going to be exciting for fans. You know, and I know it's the 2 most popular teams. It's like the Yankees and the Red Sox getting, you know, to the AL championship every year. We don't always want to see these 2 teams. But when they're the 2 best teams in this quality basketball, it's really going to be fun to watch. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, the Celtics have obviously proven to be better than I thought they were, and I mean, I would like to think I'm not alone in that.
Yep.
Better than a lot of people thought.
I don't know
were.
That anybody picked the Celtics to be in the finals prior to the playoffs starting. I don't remember anybody. I remember
preseason pick. Yeah, Ken Berger did, but prior to the postseason starting, they seemed like quite a long shot.
A lot of Magic people, a lot of Cavs, and then of course the Lakers.
Yeah, this Magic person. I thought it'd be the Magic, and you'd have the Cavs coming out of the East, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. But we both had the Lakers.
We did.
So at least we got half of that right. All right, so who is the most, even if this is an obvious answer, who is the most important player for the Lakers?
You know, the most important player, we know it's number 24 all the time, but if you go away from that, who's the guy that needs to step up to win this series in particular? To me, it's got to be Pau Gasol. We saw what happened 2 years ago. Gasol kind of got muscled. A lot of people thought he was afraid of Kevin Garnett. He certainly played that way. It was not Pau Gasol basketball. We know him to be much more skilled and athletic than he looked in that series. He just looked outmatched. Now, 2 years later, Pau, we definitely think, you know, he's as skilled as it comes in big man. He's now, like we said, 2 years more experienced. And it seems like if Andrew Bynum is there with him in the paint, you know, that front line for the Lakers is as big and as tough as anybody. And, of course, 2 years ago they were missing Andrew Bynum in this series. But Powell, to me, is the guy who needs to dominate each night. He needs to have over 10 rebounds, 15 to 20 points, shooting good percentages, and key blocks. He's going to be key on the defensive end, changing shots, because Rondo will get to the paint. It's up to him to step up, have the correct rotations, and, you know, either take a charge or create the shot block. So to me, you know, we know what 24 is all about. Pau Gasol is a guy that, for L.A., really needs to step up in order for them to win this series.
Yeah, well, for my most important player, I guess I just went with the most obvious one. I said Kobe Bryant because Kobe has been just so good lately, and more on that later. But even if he struggles, he's not going to stop shooting. So if Kobe doesn't play well, the Lakers aren't going to win.
Yep.
You know, they can't. I think they can overcome. I don't think they will, but they could overcome bad play from Pau Gasol. They can't overcome it.
So you're saying if he doesn't shoot well?
If he doesn't shoot well, they're doomed.
Really? Even if he's a 13 assist or double-digit
assist? He can make up for it in free throws.
Yeah.
But no, not the assist. If he misses a lot of shots and doesn't get to the free throw line, does not have a good efficient offense. Let's say he shoots 40%. Yeah. I don't see them winning this series.
Gotcha.
Okay, most important player for Boston.
Me, I'm going to go with Ray Allen there. If I look at, you know, who do they need both on the offensive side and the defensive side to step up, it's that shooting guard position. Ray Allen needs to score. I don't think he's going to score at the level that Kobe's going to score, but he needs to score up there with Kobe. And then he also has to make Kobe work on the defensive end. And that's the thing that Kobe really hasn't had to do much of throughout these playoffs. He's had Artest able to guard the toughest guy on the opposing team, and he's been able to kind of rest on offense. And if you've got Ray Allen running off picks all day,
yeah,
and Kobe's going to be covering him, that's going to wear him down. So that, to me, is something very important that Ray Allen can help do. Even if he's not making shots, if he is tiring down Kobe Bryant, that's going to help them on the other end.
That's a good point. For my most important Boston player, I went with Paul Pierce. Excuse me. I think that with Paul Pierce, he had a good series against the Orlando Magic. He did not have a good series against the Cleveland Cavaliers offensively. Defensively, he did. Offensively, he did not, because he was chasing around LeBron James. And I think it's going to be a similar series. The question, you know, in terms of he's going to be guarding Kobe Bryant mostly, we assume. And the question is, can they survive against the Lakers if he has a good defensive series but doesn't have a good offensive series? And I think realistically, if he guards Kobe Bryant, he's not going to play as well offensively as he did against Orlando.
No, not going
to. But he needs to hit big shots. He can't have horrible games where he does nothing productive offensively. The guy has to be at least competent and capable offensively of hitting some big shots and obviously still play solid defense on Kobe Bryant. So I would say that Paul Pierce is extremely important because of what he's going to bring defensively, but he cannot sacrifice all of his offensive game for his defense. Not in this series. I don't think they can get away with that like they did against Cleveland.
Yep.
X factors. One for the Lakers, one for the Celtics. Go ahead with the Lakers.
Lakers first, I'll look at Ron Artest being what I saw was missing from 2 years ago with the Lakers, and that's the toughness. That's that, you know, we'll get right in your face if you do the same to us. And definitely Ron Artest will provide that. Does he need to provide three-point shooting? Not necessarily.
Shout out to Queensbridge yet?
At the end of what I say. That's
okay.
I'm waiting for the end.
Okay.
QB. So overall, if you look at what Artest has done in this playoffs, you know, obviously the game-winning shot we all remember, but it's been the hustle on the defensive end that's really stood out to me. He's not shot the ball well. We know that. He's hit threes in certain games. He's hit big shots. We know he hit the game winner. Overall, I don't expect him to be much of an offensive factor, but he has to D up, whether it's against Paul Pierce or whoever they decide for him to cover. And then offensively, just be reliable. Don't take bad shots. Don't take shots early in the shot clock. Of course, he backed up the terrible shot that he took with the game winner. But overall, he's someone that, like I said, he's going to add that toughness that they were missing 2 years ago. And the rest of it is just being what they want Artest to be. And that's a tough-minded defensive player who will also crash the boards a little bit.
And you saw Phil Jackson, the clip of Phil Jackson saying, don't pass him the ball. Don't even give him the ball to Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
That was great,
yeah,
saying that to Pau about Ron Artest. Okay, my X factor for the Lakers is Lamar Odom. I think he has the rebound. I think he has to play consistently. A lot of people, I would say, would think that Lamar Odom is the X factor, and he usually is. they're so much better when he plays better, and if he doesn't play well, I think the Lakers are going to be in some trouble. They need him.
Yeah, in the game that Kobe was out, he had 13 points and 14 rebounds to go with 3 assists.
If he has that, if he averages 13, 14, and 3, I think they're going to win. X-factor for Boston.
X-factor, I'm going with someone off the bench. This is another player that you can kind of throw in front of Kobe Bryant to defend him and also throw out there to be a more athletic two-guard, and that's Tony Allen. This is a guy who can be a spark and can be an energy guy for Boston. Like I said, with these two teams, the benches are very equal. You know, I thought in that Phoenix series that Phoenix's bench could take advantage of LA's. With LA and Boston now, I think they're pretty even. I feel that Tony Allen's one of these guys with his athleticism and his ability to spell some minutes for the guys who are guarding Kobe to be out there and aid in that part of the game. Also, he could be an X factor. If he has a big game, if he gets up into the double-digit points or has a couple steals, impact plays like that, he can really be an X factor for Boston, especially on the road. You need bench guys to stand out. A lot of bench guys, when it comes to road games, especially in LA, they disappear. They don't shoot as well. They don't play as well. And he just needs to go out there and hustle and really play with the tenacity that we know that he's really known for on that team.
My X factor for Boston is Kevin Garnett, and specifically his outside shot, because I'd like to see him clear the lane a little bit with his jumper and make whoever's guarding him, whether it's going to be Gasol or Bynum or Odom, whoever's guarding Kevin Garnett has got to be committing to him on the perimeter and open up that lane a little bit for Rondo and for Pierce. And, you know, Garnett can really add a lot when he's making that jumper. They're a tough team to beat when he's going well offensively. They're a tough team to beat regardless. But, you know, he really swing a game with his jumper.
Absolutely.
Three reasons why the Lakers will win, and three reasons why the Boston Celtics will win. I'll let you go first with your three LA reasons.
With LA, one of the main things, and you brought this up in your X Factor, for me, one of the main reasons they'll win is that Lamar Odom has been fantastic, and I do not expect him to slow down. I expect him to have a similar impact, maybe not as great, but I do expect him to come off the bench and continue to be one of those guys that you look at and you say, man, if he were starting for another team, he would just have dominant numbers. But he fits this role perfectly. He embraces it. The team knows how to get him the ball in certain situations. And, of course, crashing the boards, he's been doing it as good as anybody lately. The second thing I say, size matters. And in basketball, having a guy like Pau Gasol and a guy like Andrew Bynum both there in the paint, they're younger, they're a little more skilled, I feel like, than the big men in Boston. We'll see if Andrew Bynum can stay healthy and actually provide the sort of impact that we've seen him do at times. Now, we talked about this a lot in the regular season when Gasol and Bynum were both playing. Bynum rarely will have a big game, especially a double-digit rebounding game. But he did have a few of those late in the year. He seemed to get more comfortable playing beside Pau Gasol. So we need him to really step up, and that's one of the reasons. That's my number two reason. Number three, to quote my man Gus Johnson.
I hate your number two reason, by the way.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
But you want to go ahead and give number three.
Number three, to quote my boy Gus Johnson, Kobe Bryant gets buckets. It's just what he does.
He
wins games. When it comes down to the clutch moments, Kobe Bryant gets buckets. He scores when they need those points. And you talked about it earlier in the regular season, 2 1-point games. One of them Kobe hit the winner. One of them Kobe wasn't there for. Had he been there, he certainly would have put it up. Whether or not he would have hit it, we don't know. But the fact is, if there's close games at the end, and it's up to one of these two teams to score a clutch basket, you have to feel like the team that has Kobe Bryant on it will be the team that scores that basket.
Okay. Here's my issue with your size matters thing. First of all, I'm only 5'9", so just watch what you say in my presence. But Bynum, we don't know what we're getting from Bynum.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously, I said Odom's the X factor. Bynum might be the X factor. We don't know what we're going to. He got his knee drained. He's not that healthy, though. No, and he just seems to be getting worse in terms of health. And he's not that dominant.
He's very skilled,
for stretches. For stretches.
You see, but he's got great hands, very good footwork. He's soft touch around the rim.
But
these are the sorts of things that when he's healthy,
right,
stand out.
Whatever. But Boston but Boston is not going to be intimidated. And Boston,
no.
Boston's got size, too. Yeah. Because Kendrick Perkins is very underrated. Baby Davis is playing well off the bench. And Garnett is still Garnett. So they're not as tall. But last time these two teams played, they were
without
much
Bynum.
More physical.
Yep.
Without Bynum, but Bynum's a wuss.
I know where you're going there. Well, let's see what Bynum does. And again, if he's not 100%, that knee's not 100%, he can't plant it and box people out, especially Kendrick Perkins, who's a big boy, it will be a factor. So the knee getting drained, those sorts of things, those worry me. That's why, you know, I don't rely on him to have big games, but Gasol and Odom have to being double digit rebounds every single game.
Ooh, both of them?
I mean, obviously, if you get eight out of Odom and you get 14 out of Gasol, that's fine. But if they combine for 20 rebounds.
Okay, that's better. Yeah. That's better. I was like, easy there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I got my three reasons why the Lakers might win. And these are rock solid. So I can't even debate them?
We're just gonna move on.
I don't know why you would. But number one is Kobe Bryant. He's playing out of his mind.
But see, you didn't say Gus Johnson. You didn't.
No, Kobe Bryant gets buckets.
He gets buckets.
But I coined that, so
you did.
Yeah, I didn't want to give Gus the credit for that. He gets buckets. He's shooting 48% in the playoffs from the field, and over 40% from
downtown.
These are not
easy shots. These are not shots that are wide open.
He's actually playing some of the best basketball of his career right now.
I agree.
I mean, this is kind of unexpected.
Yep.
But I guess he's a little healthier now, and
he might have gotten tired of everyone talking about LeBron being the best player in the world. Because it was
LeBron's still the best.
I know, I still maintain. But he got
LeBron
a little tired of that. But the way Kobe's played in these playoffs, that no one could have played this good beside Kobe Bryant. The number, like you said, getting to the line.
Yeah.
The shooting percentages. He's not turning the ball over.
Well, did you read Greg Doyle's column today? Because I recommend it.
Yeah.
Because he talks just about that, and the gist of it was. NBA writers are in two camps, the LeBron camp and the Kobe camp, and they all have very strong convictions, and so do the fans. And Doyle said, I think I'm switching over to the Kobe camp.
Wow.
And you know what?
It's hard to in these playoffs not to say that he's
the best killing
player in
my
the world.
Arguments.
Yeah.
Every argument I've had against Kobe, he's killing them right now. He's been so good. Absolutely incredible.
And you killed him a little bit during the regular season when he missed some good, some buzzer
of course,
beaters and was a ball because, hog a bit.
But what I concluded was that Kobe Bryant makes a lot of game-winning shots because he takes a lot of game-winning shots, and he also misses game-winning shots, and people don't pay attention to the misses. We did pay attention to the misses. Yeah. We brought it to light. Bringing to light Kobe's misses.
Yeah.
Get it? anyway, we brought it to light. We exposed him for the misser that he can be. But we didn't say that he's not clutch. We just said he's not really as clutch as everybody makes him out to be. But in the playoffs, he's been Kobe Bryant. He's been living up to his reputation, which I always thought was a stupid reputation given to him by irresponsible writers.
Yeah. And I hate to throw the Jordan thing out there, but this is as good as I've seen someone play in the playoffs.
Yeah, no,
since number 23.
He's been amazing. all right, so that's my number one reason. You can't argue with that one. Number two.
I had the same one. Okay, go ahead.
Pau Gasol, he's much tougher when these two teams met 2 years ago. I can't see him just getting physically manhandled like a little girl like he did 2 seasons ago. I think
is that just because international play and
I don't know. You just look at him; he's different now.
Okay.
He's different. I mean, look, that was his first time in the NBA Finals. He maybe learned something from that. He's been a monster since then, and he just looks like he knows what he's doing, and he kind of owns the paint. Now he just has a swagger to him that I didn't really think he had.
Let's see if he carries it into this one, though.
And number three, my number three reason: Ron Artest and Kobe Bryant defensively. And what I mean by that is, this is similar to what happened in the Thunder series when Russell Westbrook was tearing people apart. You've got two elite defenders now, so I could easily see Rajon Rondo pulling a Russell Westbrook here, and at some point Kobe's going to have to take him. And when Kobe does that, then Paul Pierce will be guarded by Ron Artest. If Paul Pierce will be guarded by Ron Artest anyway. So yeah, there could be an extra score. Maybe it's going to be Ray
Allen.
Fish going
to be running around and trying to...
I don't know how they're going to solve that. Maybe they get him off the floor. I don't know what it is. But I think that the fact that Rajon Rondo is such an advantage for Boston, he is one of my three reasons why the Celtics could win. At some point, I think we're going to see the Kobe-Rondo matchup. And having two
especially
elite,
late in the game. Yeah.
Having two elite defenders is a real plus for the Lakers. Elite and versatile defenders. And I would say this. Don't even wait for Rondo to steal a game. Do it right from game one. Put Kobe on Rajon Rondo. Not necessarily the whole game, but in situations.
Talking first quarter.
I like that. I would send a message right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Because, look, we know that the Lakers have a lot of trouble with point guards, especially quick ones.
Yeah.
We know this is a huge edge for the Boston Celtics. So I'd like to send a message. But I suggested doing that, I think, in game three of the Oklahoma City series. I said, send a message and put Kobe on Westbrook right from the start, and they didn't. Yeah. So, I mean, Phil, I thought we were tight, me and Phil, but I guess not. But, yeah, no, anyway, I
and
think
if you look
defensively
back at this,
they have an advantage.
Look at the playoffs that Derek Fisher's had to go – or the point guards that Derek Fisher's had to go against in this year's playoffs.
That's a good point.
You know, this has been four of the best right now. You know, obviously there's a couple in the East that are good. Derek Rose is out there, but
he went
against –
Yeah, but the four best point guards that were in the playoffs, He probably faced all of them, unless you put Rose over Westbrook.
Yeah. So you got Williams, who was first round Westbrook, like you said, Nash, and now Rondo. I don't know that you can take what you learned against Nash and put that in against Rondo because they're two different guys.
Right, he's going to get smoked.
But at the same time, I mean, we have said all year that the point guard position is what's killing them. He's done good enough. It's not like Nash destroyed them in any of those games. Russell Westbrook probably did. He probably owned him in a couple of games, but that was very early on. And he's been hitting clutch jump shots. There's no doubt about that with Derek.
Yeah, no, Fisher will still have an impact. All right, three reasons why the Boston Celtics might win. Go ahead.
You let me go first again.
You want me to go first?
You go ahead first.
Okay. Number one, the Lakers can't stop quick point guards. Rondo averaged 11.5 assists in the two games this year against the Lakers. He's going to have a big series, unless we get the Kobe-Rondo matchup. Number two, Paul Pierce is better than anything that the Suns or the Jazz threw at Kobe Bryant. Because remember, Kirilenko was hurt for part of that series. Wesley Matthews was no contest. Grant Hill, as much as we love Grant Hill, he's not Paul Pierce defensively. Pierce did a nice job on LeBron James. He made it tough on him. He harassed him. I think Paul Pierce is better than what Kobe has seen in the playoffs. The only player that, and I mean, you could say Cephalosha, great defensive player, but I don't know if he's physical enough for Kobe. The player that gave Kobe fits was Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
His length.
Long arms.
He's a different type of defender than Pierce. But I think Pierce will be maybe the toughest defender that Kobe Bryant will see in the postseason.
Point.
That's number two. Number three, I like the Celtics bench. You talked about there's not really a big matchup. I still like a big advantage. I still like the Celtics bench over the Lakers bench. Tony Allen, Glenn Davis, and hey, maybe Nate Robinson has one big game. Rasheed Wallace is playing better. If Rasheed Wallace picks up another tech, I'm going to slap him. It's unbelievable.
Well, the one thing Rasheed can do is he can get in Powell's face. He can get that you know, just that energy out of Powell. And where you make guys play angry, they don't always play well. So if you start getting into Powell and make him play angry instead of play in the normal demeanor that he is, which is just calm and he's out there, like you said, just so fluid in the paint. If you rile him up, see what happens. And I think they're definitely going to try to have him do that. There's no doubt about it. You bring in Rasheed off the bench and tell him, why don't you get up and pow a little bit? Throw that elbow into his back.
They're not going to need to because Perkins and Garnett will take care
of
that. But I think the Celtics bench is better than the Lakers bench. So my three reasons why the Celtics will win. Lakers can't stop the quick point guards. Paul Pierce will defend Kobe better than maybe anybody other than Durant has defended him. And their bench is better.
All right.
Go ahead.
My first reason is similar, almost the same as yours.
Hate it.
But mine is written better. It's just worded much better. To me, it's great opposing point guards are the Lakers' kryptonite.
And okay, look.
They wear green, and they're the kryptonite to the Lakers. So I'm telling you, you're going to see, like you said, the point guard matchup be a distinguishing point that Boston has in advantage.
We're not writing articles here. I don't care what you write. We're talking about podcasts.
No.
This is an audio medium here.
Yes, but it comes out so much better when I read it, too.
Okay.
So, number two, they were tested much more than the Lakers in this year's playoffs. With the series against Cleveland and Orlando, only makes them tougher, only makes them more confident.
You know what?
Hungry.
No.
Yes. You know,
no,
if you
so
don't think
dumb.
That's going to aid
it's
them,
it's not
as they
going
get
to. Why is that going? No, it's
they
the same
in,
thing.
Look,
you think they're
going
to be more motivated or something because they had to beat these two teams?
They're more confident. They're tougher.
They're not
more
confident.
Hungry.
You can't say they're more
think
confident.
About it.
You don't know they're more
why
confident.
Why did Orlando struggle so bad in those first two games against Boston?
Oh, enlighten me.
Because they had such easy such easy eight games prior to that.
I would buy that.
That when they moved on and they thought we can do whatever we want.
No, I don't like to get into a team's mindset when I don't know anything about the team's mindset. I would buy that argument if we didn't see in the next four games that the Celtics were, in fact, a better team.
Okay, but you even mentioned in the podcast earlier that
they were playing these tough
opponents. You don't think that that's going to aid them playing the Lakers, having played the two best teams, having beaten the teams with the two best records in the NBA? You don't think they're more confident knowing they did that and now they have to play the Lakers?
I mean, I think that maybe it helps their confidence, but I can't say they are more confident than the Lakers are.
No, but they should be, though. They beat the top two teams in the NBA.
Look, we can't say a team's confident.
They?
We can't measure a team's confidence compared.
Based on
how do
what
we
they
know
did
what
in the
this,
last
no.
three series,
well, how
they
do we
are
know
right
what
now.
The Celtics are thinking? We can't put ourselves in their minds. We can't.
That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm saying is after winning two series like that, you have to be sky-high in confidence. Maybe you haven't been in that situation where you know that that feeling is we beat the best two teams, now we're not afraid of anybody. That is what I'm saying.
Come on. No. Listen.
I don't understand how you don't grasp this concept when you brought it up earlier that they beat the two best teams in the league.
all that says to me is that they're very good. It doesn't say anything about their confidence. I don't know what their confidence is.
You don't think they gain confidence
by
doing that, though?
I'm sure they did.
Look, so
I'm sure they did.
Saying.
You don't think the Lakers gain confidence by beating the Suns?
A little bit, but again, it's the Suns. It wasn't even the second best team in the Western Conference, really. So, for the most part.
Yeah, it was. I mean, by
at
record,
certain times,
no.
Yeah, at
but
certain
yeah.
times. I mean, really, 2 through 8, we could have ranked however we want to.
How about this?
Conference.
I could say the Lakers went through a tougher conference.
No.
Their confidence must be sky high right now. Don't speculate on there. You don't know whose confidence is higher.
No, I'm not saying it's higher than the Lakers. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
Then
I'm
why is this an advantage?
They were just tested so much that they know we can beat anyone. We can beat
okay,
anyone. There's
they
no doubt
knew
about
that
it.
Before.
No, they may have thought that. They didn't know that. Now they know that.
Go ahead
See,
with number
since
three.
Since you don't understand, we'll
move maybe
on.
Number three could be a little
number
better
three,
than number two.
They're the only team that doesn't fear the Lakers. That's simple. They know that they're tougher than them.
I just don't understand. Why can't you give me like?
You don't think mind frame has anything to do with sports?
It certainly does. But I can't make a statement like they're the only team that doesn't fear the Lakers because I don't know that they're the only team that doesn't fear
they
the Lakers.
They certainly seem like it. They're the only team again that knows we beat them in the finals before. We can do it again. There's no one else that says that.
That's true, but that doesn't – I don't know. I don't like to get into the whole mental aspect because I don't like to speculate about somebody's mentality. I'm not
when
around
When they played
them.
2 years ago, what was the reason that the Lakers lost?
Powell they weren't tough enough.
Powell was just totally destroyed, and he had no confidence and just couldn't play his game, right?
Well,
so
no,
the mental
no,
edge,
no, no,
the
no,
mental
I agree
edge
with,
to
no.
me, again, goes to the Celtics. This
I agree that Powell got destroyed, but I cannot say that Powell had no confidence. How the heck would I know if he had no confidence?
Just by looking at him play.
I mean,
look at the way he played when he wasn't being himself.
He obviously wasn't playing well in that series. They got manhandled. They got out-physicaled.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen again. Do the Celtics? Yeah, of course. They have a mental edge because they've beaten the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They beat the two top teams in terms of record in the NBA. But that doesn't do anything to me because the Celtics are so confident by nature. Kevin Garnett is a maniac. The Celtics are always mentally prepared to play. I don't think that they go out there thinking they're going to lose.
No, but knowing that we just beat Dwight Howard and the number two team in the league, and we beat Cleveland and LeBron in the number one team in the league, they are ready for this. They're rolling into it at the best time of the year.
Fine, Greg.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. If you don't understand concepts of mentality in sports, that's okay.
I understand that, but I have trouble speculating about it because I don't know the mentalities. I don't know the mindsets. For all I know, Derek Fisher is sitting at home right now going, I am about to get absolutely abused on national television because Rondo is going to embarrass me and everybody's going to blame me when we lose. Or he's sitting at home going, I can't wait to show everybody how good I am. I'm going to shut down Rondo.
He
and
just
even
played
if I
the
don't...
three best, so yeah. Having played the three best point guards now against Rondo,
oh,
he should have more confidence. See? It all works out in the end.
Okay. Wrap it up in a little bow.
Exactly.
Oh, well, it's prediction time.
Oh, man.
Who do you want to go first?
Oh, you go ahead. You go ahead. I think I know who you're going to pick.
Well, I think the general... Okay, let me ask you this. If you asked 20 people,
yeah.
10 of them were sports writers, 10 of them were just casual fans, what do you think the prediction
Almost would? All Lakers.
Lakers in what?
Yeah. Not probably most people don't know the 2-3-2 concept
That's true.
Of what's going on right here, so you might hear a lot of 5-game or a lot of 7-game. So I would still think, though, for the
six
most
or,
part.
I would say six or seven. Lakers in six or seven.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Celtics in six.
Wow.
I'm tired of picking against the Celtics.
Wow. So here's what I got to ask you. Is this going to be like the Heat Mavericks? Are you giving the first two to the Lakers, next four to the Celtics?
It doesn't really matter to me. I do not think that the Celtics are winning all three games at home.
Okay.
That is
so
gotta
hard
steal,
you got to steal one
do.
Early.
Yeah, and I think they will.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they will.
All right.
Now, I was going to take the Celtics in seven, but I have a hard time seeing them going into Boston or going into L.A. for a game seven.
Yeah, you can't beat Kobe in game seven.
Even though I think Bill Russell did that in, like, his last game ever against Wilt Chamberlain. I think that was the game where he was like, he made a speech to his team like, we are not losing this game. It was like epic.
Yeah.
I just don't remember if that was in L.A. or Boston, but I think that one was in L.A.
Yeah.
I can't see that happening. So I'm going to take them in six.
Okay.
I think that the Boston Celtics are the kind of team, after the Cavaliers or the Magic or any opponent plays them, you sit there and you go, what the heck happened to that team?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is always the same.
They play
the Celtics defense is amazing.
Yeah.
The Celtics defense is so underrated. Still, I don't think people are always looking for answers. Why did the Cavs struggle? Why did the Magic struggle? No, you know what? That's fine. That's fair. But give the due credit
Absolutely.
To the Boston Celtics defense. And the Celtics are going to find a way. They're well coached defensively. I think that's really hard to argue at this point. And they are going to frustrate the Lakers somehow. I think they're going to win. And I think the egos of the Lakers might get in the way, where the Celtics appear to be a somewhat egoless team.
Yeah, I can go with that.
Not egoless. Everybody's got an ego.
Yeah.
But they play,
they don't bring it on the
they
court.
Play very unselfishly. Mm-hmm. They play very well together. They have a much more of a team concept, in my opinion. And again, these are not things I like to speculate on, but I feel like we have pretty good evidence to say that Celtics are like the ultimate team. They really are.
They do seem like that. There's no doubt about it. And it's I do feel a game six I would give to Boston. That's why I'm picking LA in seven. I have a feeling that they're going to win those first two, struggle on the road, maybe lose two or three, bounce back, win that game seven. Like you said, a game seven in LA, Kobe Bryant on the court, Jack sitting front row. It's hard for anybody to beat them. Almost impossible.
And, you know, I hate the 2-3-2 because if the Lakers win the first two, it's going to be very, very difficult. Now, the Mavericks won the first two.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is that certain teams, if you were really, really good at home, like if it was a team like the Utah Jazz who on the road really struggled and all of a sudden at home they got really good, you'd have those three games and then you go to that game six, hopefully with a lot of confidence having won those three games. That's obviously what happened with the Heat and the referees helped a little bit.
Yeah, the referees did help a big time.
A little bit, yeah.
They changed the series.
Yeah. Quite a bit. Don't want to totally admit that.
But that's the thing. Yeah. But it's important to mention that because the Heat would not have won all three games in that series necessarily if the referees had made the right calls.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Wade was getting about 40 free throws a game.
Yeah,
I think
the one in particular, you know, like the buzzer beater free throws or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's important to know. It's hard to win three games in a row against a good team. And it's just so annoying that you have three rounds of the playoffs that are 2-2, 1-1-1. And then you change it up for the finals. It doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't seem fair. So why do it?
Yeah. Do we really care that much about media and how they travel, really?
It's so stupid.
Yep. Yeah.
But
I would agree.
Oh, well. All right, so you got the Lakers in seven.
Lakers in seven. Either way, it's going to be great basketball. If you're a fan of good basketball, like you said, great team basketball, Orlando does that top-notch. And if you're a fan of great players.
Boston does that top-notch.
I'm sorry. And if you're a fan of great players, Kobe Bryant, as good as it gets right now.
Finals MVP?
If the Lakers win, it's Kobe. If the Celtics win, it's Rondo.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I will anyway. Just
I think he might say Garnett.
There's no way. I can't imagine a scenario where the Lakers win and
Kobe's
not
the MVP.
There's
no way.
Maybe Gasol. If the Celtics win, I think that the media might give it to Pierce. Because they probably like Pierce more than they like Rondo.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, I don't even have any five words or less for you.
That's good to know. That's real good to know.
Five words or less. How was your Memorial Day weekend?
Not that good.
Not that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, mine was better than yours.
Yes.
That's it for today's podcast. We'll be back after the NBA Finals.
You're gone for 2 weeks, and then we're going to have some off-season stuff for people to keep up on hoops, just keep talking about hoops, and obviously give us feedback throughout the summer because, really, the topics that we discuss and the things that we look deep into, it's based on what you guys really want us to talk about. So certainly send in those emails and let us know what you guys want us to discuss throughout the summer.
And our email address is CBSI as an interactive CBSI podcast feedback at CBS.com. For Greg Urbano, I'm Adam Azer. Celtics in six or Lakers in seven.
Enjoy the finals.
We'll find out. Later, everyone.